First lesson for the 12th Sunday after Pentecost is from Genesis chapter 15. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. But Abram said, Sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless, and the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, You have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him, This man will not be your heir, but a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir. He took him outside and said, Look up at the sky and count the stars, if indeed you can. Then he said to him, So shall your offspring be. Abram believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. This is the word of the Lord. Second lesson is from Hebrews chapter 11, beginning at the first verse. Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was invisible. By faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offsprings. And by faith, Abel still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life, so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteous that is in keeping with faith. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Then Jesus said to his disciples, Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds. Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the wildflowers grow. They do not labor or spin, Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today, and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it. For the pagan world runs after all such things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Well, I have a question. What's more important? Eating yourself into oblivion or eating healthy so that you can live longer and with a better quality of life? What's better? 3 minutes of anger and rage so that you can get something off your chest and feel self-justified and the other person to feel lower than the slime at the bottom of the swamp, or to have self-control so that you might rationally talk through your disagreement with the other person? What's better? Totally giving up and accepting that they will never be victorious, resulting in your slipping into depression and despair, or to believe that those Buffalo Bills can again win their division and make it into the playoffs? I'm just saying. What's better? Turning over and burying your face in the pillow, driving away the morning light filtering into your bedroom, or arising and gathering at a place where you are fed food that nurtures not the body, but rather the soul, and keeps you on the road to a most preferred eternity in heaven? I see that you are those who have chosen wisely. You have chosen the wiser path this morning. Good for you. Friends, I'm glad you're here. Very glad. You have chosen to be in a place where you can be lifted up, where you can be encouraged, equipped, loved on, and actually have the touch of God on your life. That's what happens in this place, you know. The Spirit of God is here amongst us, seeking to bring God's Word to us so that we can focus our lives aright. Jesus will give us His very body and blood, which He shed on the cross, so that your faith can be nurtured and nourished. And that's so important, because the world is doing everything it can to beat you up and influence you just to give up on God. Yes, my friends, you have chosen wisely this morning. Good for you. Did you catch what Jesus was talking about in the gospel lesson this morning? He was talking about worry. He said, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothes." Don't worry. Not about food, not about health, not about how you look, and not about the clothes you wear. Really, Jesus? Don't you know what the boys at school will say if my hair isn't just right? Don't you know what the other girls will say if my top doesn't go with my pants or my skirt? Now, please, don't be offended, ladies. It's not my intention to just single out preteen and teenage girls. Preteen boys and teenage boys have issues they worry about too, as do college students and young adults and middle-aged adults and senior adults. Truth is, no matter your station in life, there is always something one could worry about. But Jesus says, don't. He says, who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? This is so true. Worrying about something can't even add a single hour to the length of our lives. What it can do is get us to chew our fingernails, give us ulcers, and possibly even lead us to a nervous breakdown. And who wants that? No one. And God doesn't want those things for us either. And Jesus reminds us that if God takes care of the birds of the air and the flowers of the field, He's certainly going to take care of us. And this is encouraging. It is. But Jesus gives us even more. Please consider these words of Jesus, which are at the heart of this passage. He says, seek His kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Here Jesus is telling us that there is a direct correlation between seeking His kingdom and the provision we receive from God. Understand, God wants to not only provide for His children the things necessary for the living of life, but He also wants to show us the best way to avoid giving into worry. And it's all tied up with this matter of seeking the kingdom. Now, it may help us to take a look at how Matthew's account of this teaching of Jesus. Matthew writes, Jesus as saying, but seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Here we see a little more detail of what Jesus taught about these things. He says, seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. And all these things, all the things necessary for the living of life, will be given to us as well. Notice that here, Jesus included the word first, and also the directive to seek His righteousness. And by the way, in both Luke and in Matthew, they use the imperative, which means that this teaching of Jesus is a command. It's not a suggestion, it's a command. Further, it's written in Greek in such a way as to give the notion, the idea, that this is to be something that is to be done continually. So what this boils down to is that we would seek God above all other things in life. And that leads us to a timeless truth of God. When we seek God, His kingdom, and His righteousness above all things, we remove barricades that might keep us from receiving all God desires to bring to our lives. For example, let's say you are involved in some activity that God has made clear in Scripture is a sinful activity. Continued involvement in that activity may just cut you off from the blessings God wants to bring your way. Sin builds a wall between us and God. It separates us and it affects what our lives are like. It affects the blessings that come our way from God. Let's simply take the thing that Jesus is seeking to help us avoid. Worry. If we start worrying about something and keep on worrying and keep on worrying, there's a strong possibility that our worry might drive us to take action that may actually do us more harm than good. Now, I could perhaps provide an example or two for you about that, but rather than that, I invite you to look at your own life. And as you look at it, you're likely to find a time, remember a time, or two, or three, or four, when worry drove you to some irrational action that really only served to make the matter worse rather than better. Yeah. So it makes all the sense in the world to seek God's kingdom and His righteousness above all other things. Because you know what? This thing called life, He's got this. God has the matters of your life well in hand. He does. Oh, it doesn't mean that we sit back on our laurels and don't do anything. Not at all. Paul wrote in one of his letters, he said, "He who does not work, neither shall he eat." So we are to be active in doing things in life, but above everything else, we are to seek His kingdom and His righteousness. Now, the righteousness part, I don't think is too hard for us to figure out. Righteousness really can be broken down to a hyphenated word, rightness. Rightness. Being right with God. First of all, being right with God through the righteousness of Christ that has been graciously assigned to us by God. But then, also, to live each day desiring to live righteously, to live without sin, to live in holiness, a holy living, a holy life, life that is pleasing to God. And clearly, the more we seek God in our lives, the more that kind of righteousness becomes a part of our lives. But what is this kingdom we're to seek? Scripture actually says a great number of things about the kingdom. In fact, Jesus delivered a whole series of parables about the kingdom. One of those parables was the parable of the mustard seed, which teaches us that the kingdom of God may at times appear very small, but will one day be known by all and be known as the mightiest kingdom of all. The parable of the pearl of great price, where Jesus teaches that the kingdom of God is so valuable that one should be willing to put everything at risk so as to obtain it. And then he has some other parables about the kingdom as well. In another place, Jesus says that the kingdom of God is within you. Wait, you say. I thought heaven was the kingdom of God. It is. It is. But it's not the only place the kingdom of God exists. As Jesus said, the kingdom of God is within you. And so, what does that mean? Perhaps this will help. In Romans chapter 14, Paul writes this, For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That is to say that when we are allowing God full reign in our lives, we will more and more experience righteousness, peace, joy, as well as things like contentment and satisfaction and a whole host of other satisfying things. Here's something else Jesus said about the kingdom. Luke 17, verses 20 and 21. Once when being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied, "The kingdom of God is not something that can be observed, nor will people say, 'Here it is,' or 'There it is,' because the kingdom of God is in your midst." In case you didn't pick up on it, one of the things that Jesus is seeking to make clear to us is that the kingdom we are to seek is not simply a place we long to have as our future home, heaven. And that leads us to yet another timeless truth of God. We can begin to experience the kingdom of God here and now, even today, even in this worship service. Friends, when Jesus directs us to give no place to worry and to instead daily seek first the kingdom of God, he's actually talking about a lot more than just food on the table and a roof over our heads. Those things are included, but there's so much more. I encourage you, I challenge you to get your Bible, get a concordance, either the one in the back of your Bible or find one online, and start looking up the phrase, the kingdom of God, or perhaps the kingdom of heaven. As you do so, as you start reading those passages, let the Holy Spirit speak to you the wondrous things that are a part of this kingdom. The kingdom is so much more than what we typically think at first blush. Do it. You won't be sorry. For when you truly start seeking first the kingdom in all its forms and manifestations, you will see the chains of worry shattered. Yes, you will then break the shackles of worry that keep you bound up in fear. One more thing. When we pray in just a moment, when we come to communion and there receive Jesus, when the benediction is spoken over you at the end of the service, those are all manifestations of the kingdom of God in our midst. And I am very glad that you are here to receive those benefits of the kingdom. Those benefits that flow from His throne of grace into your life in this place, here and now and every Sunday morning. The kingdom in you. Seek it. Amen.